I had a pretty nice run going the last 3 or 4 months. And then this week, last week actually, and Monday of this week, it's been a real tough situation for me. I gave back a large chunk of what I made over the last 3 or 4 months. And this has been, it's been one of those years for me where I've had 3 or 4 big drawdowns now like this that happened really quickly. And this one, I felt like I was the most in control and the most responsible, and yet it happened anyway. I had 6 or 7 positions on, some long, some short, which is getting to be about as many as I want to have on at once. And they all kind of went to shit at the same time. And I had some bad decisions in there. I also had some bad luck, and sometimes I have good luck. So it does go both ways, but it tend to be a little bit of a mix. Sometimes it's just one really bad decision is usually what gets me. And this time it was just, it snuck up on me, and it was a lot worse than I thought it would be. It's like my winners came back against me. My losers went worst case scenario. I left a few orders in the book, and which is a stupid idea a lot of times in a thin stock, and I got filled because I just was lazy and forgot to take them out. It's just stuff that you shouldn't, that you think should never happen. It happened to me. So I want to go through a few lessons I think will help everybody. And the biggest lesson is how to review your trades. So I'm just going to start with that. And I can get into my individual things that I did wrong, but I think for the benefit of everyone listening, the more important thing here is, in order to be good at this and be relevant over many decades and bull market, bear market, and just to survive it all and keep making money, you have to get really adaptable to the market, but you also have to master your own, I call it the personal disaster plan. Like, how are you going to blow up? Like, what are your behavioral issues, your temperament issues? What are the things that are going to get you? And you'll find that when you go back and look at your trades, time and time again, there's about 3, 4, 5 mistakes that are all very similar. You can almost label them under one heading. They're a little different, but they're similar. You can group them, and they keep happening over and over again. And it's probably the same thing in other areas of your life where you get irritated by the same stuff, or you have the same people who upset you, or whatever it is, like the thing that gets you. And you really got to get intimately aware of what that is. And then on the upside, when you do well, you got to be really aware of what that is too. And you learn these things inside and out, and you think, oh, I just need a good strategy to make money, or what stock should I buy? And all that doesn't matter that much. It is very hard to find something that works to make money in the market, but you will find things that work consistently in the market. But the harder thing is, can you wait for those things and not get beat up, give the money back, turn that trade into some other trade, you change your time frame in the middle of the trade, or after you hit a few of those, you get bored because it slows down, you start forcing things, you do different trades, you start listening to other people's opinions. All that stuff is what eventually dooms you. And if you could just wait for the stuff that works. So I guess right now we're going to assume for this podcast that you have something that you think works. That being the case, how do you stick to it and maximize it? So the trade review process that I've done, I'm about 40% of the way through my trade for the last 18 months, and I need to get that done the rest of this week or this weekend. But it's such a good exercise to do. So I've said this before, but the way I do it is I have Microsoft OneNote. Every time I put on a trade, I take a screenshot after I do the trade, and I have a Microsoft Surface, so I use the pen, but you don't have to. You can print it out and do it with paper. You can do this digitally. It depends on however you're going to stick to it. You could even write in a journal, but I like having the chart, and you write on the chart. I write down, why am I in this trade? What is my risk? What's my target? Some of the overall market things that may worry me, some of the everything that's on my mind, basically a brain dump, like the logic, the reasoning. And hopefully I'm fairly structured on my good trades as to why I'm doing it. Like they look similar. And I write that down, I file it away. And when I get out of the trade, I go back, I take a screenshot of the exit, and I just write down, this is where I got out. And then I have, later on, I can go back and look at it, and I have this great review template because I have both sides of it. And I keep these, and then I say I'm going to go through them every quarter, but sometimes it's once a year and sometimes it's every 6 months. I'll go through them, and you have to be in the mood to sit down and spend like 4, 5, 6, 8 hours to go through all these. Now, if you're day trading and you do tons of trades, you might have to break it down into days or weeks, or the really good days and the really bad days are really what you need to focus on. And then you need to stay out of all those boring middle days. So you focus on the big events or the busy days, and you can figure it out that way. That's what I used to have to do, but it's a lot more record keeping. So you have to structure it in a way that's sustainable. Don't do something that's not sustainable, or else you're never going to stick to it. So what's the point if you're not going to stick to it? It's like a workout that lasts 2 hours and you quit after 2 days. So better be 30 minutes and go 4 days a week. It makes more sense. So back to this, my time frame is okay for not having too much work to do it. So I can't tell you for sure, but 18 months, how many trades did I do? I mean, it's probably 20 to 40 trades a year using my main strategy that I really want to be involved with. And out of those, there's probably 3 to 5 that are really big time trades. Doesn't mean I shouldn't do the other ones. I have to look how many I actually did. It's probably hundreds, not 500, but probably in the hundreds. And I'm going to go through and really focus on what can I weed out. And more importantly, though, the list of the 4 or 5 mistakes that keep getting made and stuff like leaving orders in the book sometimes overnight, and then there's big news and I limit my profit because I get filled too soon, or I don't, or something I think it's okay, so I don't put a stop in. Sometimes it's okay not to have a stop in if I'm really small and I want to keep adding to the position. But other times I've been really burned when something's heavily my way and I'm almost to my target, and then it reverses violently on news and I give back a lot of the trade. And if I just would have had a stop in to take me out for a profit. So that's a mistake I've made many times. So that's going to go down on my list as one of them. Another one is after I have a really bad loser that I don't expect, I oftentimes quickly go in and make a bunch of dumb trades and make it worse. It's an emotional response to doing that, trying to fix it. So that's a pattern I've seen again and again that I need to eliminate. There's a pattern of moving the goalposts after the trade is on. So I really like an idea, I have it set up, and the trade works out, and all of a sudden I start saying, well, this is going to go way further and I should have a bigger target. And then all of a sudden it goes to where I thought, I don't get out, it reverses back down, I get out, and then it goes back up and I get in, and then I get out, and all of a sudden I've made no money on a great trade and I'm really pissed off about it. So that's a third one. There's about 6 of them that I have on here, and you'll find your own. That's the more important thing, is you finding your own, not because yours will be different than mine. Maybe some of them are the same, but they'll be different. And then studying the good trades. So the good trades for me, my best trades are, most of them are the stupid news type trades, but sometimes there's something else. But that's the main strategy I use the most, I have most success with. And so something happens, I have a thesis or an idea, and then we get some dumb news that serves as the catalyst. So something's going down and I want to short it, but it's just, there's nothing to do. And then we get some dumb news that has nothing to do with the idea that it's going down. It pushes it way up. And that's my catalyst to get in. I get in and then it extends down my way and I have good risk and reward. I get in an area where I know I'm wrong. I oftentimes will add to the winner. It's a very patient process. They usually don't sneak up on me. I usually kind of am watching them for a few days, and those trades work out really well for me. That's kind of a vague representation of it, but point is I kind of know what it looks like when I have a good trade. And there's a lot of other trades where I'm looking at divergences between two things. Those don't work. They used to work great in the futures during the day. They don't work that well when I'm trading stocks. Getting ideas even from other good traders and doing something that I didn't make my own or really understand my own is a bad sign for me, because I end up getting out and not knowing why I'm in the trade when there's any drawdown or any kind of emotional thing that happens to me. So that's another one. And really not trading too big at times where something might take longer to play out. So there might be one of them where I know ahead of time it's going to be a little more sticky. Grubhub was like that. I was shorting Grubhub. I did a podcast on that, on the Stupid News podcast, and it was a great trade. It ended up being a 30-point winner on a $70 stock, I think. But I got shaken out with a loser because I traded it so big because I was so confident. But it took a little longer to work out. It took like a month or month and a half, and I thought it would move in a few weeks. And I just couldn't stay in it because I had too much size on. And so I ended up losing money instead of having a good winner, and identifying when your size needs to line up with how tough the trade will be. If it's a really popularized area and it's a very battleground type stock, you need to be aware of that and probably trade smaller, because you're going to get a lot of fighting until it breaks down or goes up. Some of the other ones that are more obscure, they move cleaner. Like the Collectors, CLCT was one of them on this card cutting stuff when it went down into the 16 area. And that was a cleaner one and it rallied to the highs. And that was one that I knew made a lot of sense and nobody was watching it. So you could trade a little bit bigger. Nike, after Tiger Woods won the Masters and it rallied, I thought that was a stupid reason to rally. It was the top of a technical area. That was a good one. I thought that not a lot of people were looking at that way. So you got to be aware of what you're doing. I'm getting off on a tangent now, but that's just stuff that when my trades work out, I know why they work out. That's the point here. So the review process, when you're done with it, you get this list of what basically what works and what doesn't. And you learn a lot about yourself when you look at that many trades. And it burns it into your brain, just, hey, I need to stay away from this stuff, these lunch money trades that are just sucking my energy, little trades that I do. And I believe you need to be involved enough, especially if you're a newer trader, you need to be involved enough to get experience and see what you like and what you don't. But the more you do it, the more you start to know what you like, and you're just sucking your energy when you're doing a bunch of other stuff around it. And another one for me is when I'm trading well, I'm super susceptible to taking a fall. I just, after the big streak, the bad streak comes, and a lot of people have that one, but it sneaks up on you because you have that feeling where you love coming into work and you love trading the market, and it's a fun job to play a game for a living, and all of a sudden you get cracked, and then it's not so fun anymore, and you realize it's a business, it's very difficult, and you have to always be aware of your psychology and where you're gonna be weak. So that's my spiel for today on trade review. I'll get back more with some lessons if I have some more after I do it. Hopefully finish it this week.